Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Neil Kelly, bringing you today's Yuma Sun Daily with a look at life in and around Yuma. And we begin with local news. The first article is titled, Secretary of State Adrian Fontes Visits Yuma, by Scott Giebel, Sun Staff Writer. As part of his On the Road initiative, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes stopped in Yuma on Wednesday, where he visited with local elected officials and community leaders. Fontes visited with the Yuma County Board of Supervisors and visited with representatives of the Recorder's Office, Library District, Yuma Chamber of Commerce, Visit Yuma, and Yuma Crossing Heritage Area. Before he met with the supervisors, Fontes spoke to the Yuma Sun about why he visited the city. "Well, there are a variety of services that my office provides, and there are a whole bunch of important things happening in Yuma. So we wanted to come and sit down and chat with the county recorder's office, as well as the election department. So we got to have that conversation where we exchanged ideas and talked to the staff. We also wanted to make sure that we talked to the Chamber of Commerce to let them know about the American Semiquincentennial, as well as going to the crossing and the territorial prison to see the space and possibly use it for the celebration," he continued. Fontes also touched on some of the close relationships he had in Yuma and the importance of visiting different parts of Arizona. "I have to be back in Phoenix this evening, so we came up late last night, but I have a good amount of communication with people down here, particularly in executing our official duties with the election department and the voter registration folks at the county recorder's office. Most people don't know this, but we are sort of the trustee for the voter registration system here for Yuma's voters, as well as 12 other counties. It is also important for a guy like me to get out of Phoenix. I was born and raised in Nogales, so I know what it is like to be an Arizonan and not be from the great state of Maricopa," he explained. Fontes has made it his mission to safeguard election integrity, enhance Arizona's business services, and promote transparency between state government and the public. So he talked about how he is doing that in Yuma. "Working closely with our voter registration people, we are making sure that as many eligible voters as possible who are able to register can, and that is an important part of safeguarding our democracy. Working directly with the Chamber of Commerce and dealing with their officers to help them understand the business side of the office and what services are available. Understanding what services are available is a critical part of making sure they are available to entrepreneurs and small business owners across the state," he stated. "As far as transparency goes, look, I am here, and local leaders ask me direct questions to my face so that we can be accountable, as well as being directly challenged, which is an important part of what it means to be a public official," he added. The next article is titled, Yuma Hosts One-of-a-Kind Musical Military Unit, by Josh Bootson, Sun Staff Writer. Since the beginning of February, Yuma has played host to the U.S. Marine Corps Battle Color Detachment as it trains for a variety of local performances, culminating at this year's Marine Corps Air Station Yuma Air Show on March 15th. Unlike other Marines who are relocated to a different duty station every couple of years, the Battle Color Detachment is permanently stationed at Marine Barracks in Washington, D.C. However, the group has been coming to Yuma to train nearly every year for the last half century, usually for 4 weeks at a time. The Battle Color Detachment opened the Caballeros de Yuma's Bull of the Desert Strongman competition on February 15th. The community also has the chance to see them at two more local performances, February 27th at Gila Ridge High School and February 28th at Kofa High School, before they leave for a two-week tour visiting military installations up and down the West Coast. The detachment includes three separate units: the Official Color Guard of the Marine Corps, the USMC Silent Drill Platoon, and the U.S. Marine Drum and Bugle Corps. The official USMC Color Guard includes four hand-picked Marines, two riflemen, one Marine holding the colors of the Marine Corps, and one Marine holding the national colors. The Commander's Four are charged with displaying the national ensign at Marine Corps ceremonies and battle color detachment performances across the United States and the world. The Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon is a 24-man rifle platoon that exhibits precise drill movements with their hand-polished 10.5-pound M1 Garand rifles with fixed bayonets. The U.S. Marine Drum and Bugle Corps is composed of 79 enlisted men and women and two officers. The Commandant's Own is the only active duty drum and bugle corps currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. They perform a variety of music in their ceremonial red and white uniforms for millions of spectators each year in the United States and abroad, from the Texas State Fair to last year's Norwegian military tattoo in Oslo, Norway. Drum Major David Cox, hailing from Mechanicsville, Virginia, joined the unit in 2008 as a baritone bugler. He was selected to be the assistant drum major in 2021. "I love it. Joining the Marine Corps to play an instrument, that's the whole reason I joined," he said. "I had joined knowing exactly what I was going to do, and I've had a blast doing it for coming up on 17 years now." The next article is titled, "Algebraic All-Stars, Students Convene for Math Counts," by Nick Finley, Sun Staff Writer. Students from across Yuma County and beyond gathered for the annual Math Counts competition, facilitated by the Yuma International Airport and hosted at Arizona Western College on Friday. The competition brought together students from Centennial Middle School, Gowan Science Academy, San Luis Middle School, Crane Middle School, Gila Vista Junior High, and Southwest Junior High. Additionally, a team from Mojave Accelerated Learning Center, a charter school based in Bullhead City, drove down to participate in Math Counts. Marco Corovubius, an eighth grade mathlete from San Luis Middle School, detailed the overall experience in a comment to the Yuma Sun during a break. "I'm really enjoying it. I really liked math ever since I was a little kid. But the only thing is that the time stresses you out. You don't know how much time you have, so you have to be quick and think fast. But I enjoy that," he shared. After the individual assessments were graded, the following students were announced to have earned the top scores: Jay Chandra, Gowan Science Academy; Pablo Lopez, Southwest Junior High; Aiden Reynosa, Southwest Junior High; Adin Mendoza, Southwest Junior High; Camila Mendoza, Southwest Junior High; Allison Acosta, Southwest Junior High; Alexa Acosta, Southwest Junior High; Dariana Castillo, Southwest Junior High; Durrell Warren, Gowan Science Academy; Jonathan Gill, Crane Middle School; Elias Sanchez, Southwest Junior High; Lily Garrison, Gila Vista Junior High. For those keeping count, San Luis had great representation, with 8 of the 12 students hailing from Southwest Junior High. These mathletes then went head-to-head in a speed round competition, with Aiden Mendoza winning first place, Alexa Acosta coming in second, and Jay Chandra claiming third. Following his win, Mendoza, an eighth grader, told the Yuma Sun, "It feels great. I've been trying to improve, and all the work I put into it has paid off." In a social media post, the Yuma International Airport explained the impact of the opportunity. "Math Counts provides fun and challenging math programs for middle school students to increase their academic and professional opportunities. The Math Counts competition program provides the extra incentive and the perfect atmosphere for students to push themselves to achieve more in mathematics," the post reads. "Math Counts is providing today's students with the foundation for success in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics careers." The next local news article is titled, "Kids at Hope Presents No Exceptions 2025 Concert," by Alex Ebrahimi, Sun Staff Writer. Kids at Hope, the nonprofit providing training, supplies, and material to local schools and organizations, is presenting its annual No Exceptions fundraising concert on Saturday, February 22nd at Desert Sun Stadium, with gates opening at 4 p.m. Performing will be Yuma's own Gwynn Sisters, Left of Center from Las Vegas, Vegas McGraw, which is a tribute to Tim McGraw, and the headliner, Neil McCoy. 100% of the funds raised here in Yuma and will be used to support over 50 schools and organizations in Yuma County, Tim Hardy, chair of the Yuma chapter of Kids at Hope, told the Yuma Sun. "Our goal is to bring 5 to 10 more schools on board and continue providing support to existing Kids at Hope schools. Tickets are available by going to the Kids at Hope website, kidsathopeyuma.org, or locally at the Yuma Visitor Center downtown and Mr. Fish in the foothills. A military veteran discount is offered for tickets bought locally at the aforementioned locations. "We are doing a tribute to our military and veterans," Hardy said. Colonel Jared K. Stone of Marine Corps Air Station Yuma and Colonel John Nelson of Yuma Proving Ground will join McCoy on stage at 4:45 p.m. as McCoy sings the national anthem and leads the crowd in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a cool fact that Neil McCoy has done the Pledge of Allegiance live on Facebook for over 9 years without ever missing a day, Hardy noted. Proceeds from a raffled-off guitar autographed by McCoy will go to the Wounded Blue, a nonprofit organization supporting wounded law enforcement nationwide and officers who were injured or lost homes in the Los Angeles fire. The next article is titled "Charro Fiesta Part of Friendship Day in Somerton" by Cesar Neoy Bajo del Sol. The action, colors, and tradition of the charro will return on Saturday, February 22nd with the Charreada de la Amistad, Friendship Charreada, organized by the Espuelas de Oro Charro Association in Somerton. With free entry, the public is invited to witness the Suertes Charras, charro skills, featuring three teams that, for the first time, will bring a competitive touch to the event organized by the Meyer family. Ivan Meyer, the event coordinator, said the competition will include two invited teams, Rancho El Refugio and Tres Zacatecanos, both from Phoenix, as well as the host team, Espuelas de Oro, with local and guest charros, Mexican horsemen. Although the event won't be official, it will be competitive but friendly, which is why we call it the Charreada de la Amistad, Mier commented. The Lienzo Charro Arena gates will open to the public at 2:30 p.m., with competitions beginning half an hour later, showcasing the nine classic Suertos de Mexico's national sport from Cala de Caballos, horse reining, to Jineteo, bull and horse riding, Ternas, team roping, and Manganas, roping on foot and horseback. Since 2008, the Mier family, led by Felipe Mier, had been dedicated to promoting the tradition and sport of charrería with public events. Now, Ivan is taking the lead in organizing these events while also competing as part of the Espuelas de Oro team. "I'm happy we're able to do this and aim to make it bigger. I'm also grateful for the support we've received. We invite everyone to come and have fun," said the young charro. The Charreada de la Amistad will also feature the Escaramuza skirmish team Perla Tapatia, with eight women performing synchronized horseback riding routines. This exciting element of charrería will be showcased in the area for the first time, drawing attention not only for the riders' elegant attire and poise, but also for their impressive skills. Around the arena, about 10 food stands will support both the association and local businesses, offering tacos, tamales, birria, seafood, and other treats for purchase. In addition to the thrilling Suertos Charras, attendees will enjoy performances by the mariachi, and folkloric dance group from the Gadsden School District, as well as Mexican music by Banda La 19 from San Luis. The event will also include a civic ceremony featuring the presentation of the U.S. and Mexican flags, and the national anthems of both countries will be performed. The Charro Fiesta will be conducted in both Spanish and English by expert announcer Heriberto Chino Medina from Ontario, California. Ivan Mier highlighted the support from sponsors, especially Riedel Construction, which has collaborated with Espuelas de Oro since the start of these events. For more information, visit the Lienzo Charros Espuelas de Oro Facebook page. You are listening to the Yuma Sun Daily with Neil Kelly on Sun Sounds of Arizona. We move on to the state news. And the first article is titled, "New Election Official Picked in Arizona County Where Leaders Embraced Conspiracy Theories." Bisbee, Arizona, AP. a Republican who worked previously in law enforcement and as a staff member at the Arizona legislature, has been appointed to replace an election official who resigned in a southern Arizona county where some leaders embraced voting conspiracy theories. Billy Cloud was picked on Tuesday by county officials to serve as recorder of Cochise County. Cloud's predecessor, David Stevens, had announced his resignation days after being sworn into another term. His resignation takes effect on February 28th. Cloud has worked as an officer for the Arizona Department of Public Safety, the top leader of police departments in Tombstone and Patagonia, sergeant-at-arms in the Arizona House, and as a financial investigations manager within the Arizona Department of Economic Security's Adult Protective Services operation. He replaces recorder David Stevens, who announced his resignation 10 days after he was sworn in for a third term in office. At the time, Stevens said he was resigning to prioritize my family and health. Some Cochise County officials had embraced unorthodox election procedures stemming from conspiracy theories spread by President Donald Trump after his 2020 loss. Two members of the Cochise County Board of Supervisors were criminally charged for delaying the certification of their county's 2022 midterm election results. One pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor and was sentenced to probation, while the other has pleaded not guilty to the charges and is awaiting trial. Next is an article titled, Two People Are Dead in a Small Plane Collision at a Southern Arizona Airport, by Morgan Lee and Sehal Govindarao, Associated Press. A mid-air collision involving two small planes in southern Arizona's killed two people Wednesday morning, authorities said. Federal air safety investigators said each plane had two people aboard when they collided at Marana Regional Airport on the outskirts of Tucson. A Cessna 172 landed uneventfully, and a Landcare 360 MK2 hit the ground near a runway and caught fire, according to the National Transportation Safety Board, which is leading the investigation, and cited preliminary information before its investigators had arrived. The Marana Police Department confirmed that the two people killed were aboard one aircraft and said responders did not have a chance to provide medical treatment. Police did not identify which plane they were in, but the operator of the Cessna, AeroGuard, a commercial flight training school, said its two pilots were not injured. Neither plane was based out of the Marana Airport, the city said. The municipal fire department helped extinguish flames, said Marana Police Sergeant Vincent Rizzi. AeroGuard declined to comment on specifics of the collision, but said it's working closely with the investigative agencies. We are deeply saddened by the two fatalities from this tragic accident, and our thoughts and prayers are with their families and loved ones during this difficult time, the company said in a statement to the Associated Press. The collision came more than a week after a plane crash in Scottsdale killed one of two pilots of a private jet owned by Motley Crue singer Vince Neil. That aircraft veered off a runway and hit a business jet. It also followed four major aviation disasters that have occurred in North America in the last month. The most recent involved a Delta jet that flipped on its roof while landing in Toronto and the deadly crash of a commuter plane in Alaska. In late January, 67 people were killed in a mid-air collision in Washington, D.C., involving an American Airlines passenger jet and an Army helicopter, marking the United States' deadliest aviation disaster since 2001. Just a day later, a medical transport jet with a child patient, her mother and four others aboard, crashed into a Philadelphia neighborhood, exploding in a fireball that engulfed several homes. That crash killed seven people, including all those aboard, and injured 19 others. The airport in Marana has two intersecting runways and operates without an air traffic control tower. A multi-million dollar project was underway to build a tower, but delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic pushed back construction. Tens of thousands of flights arrive and depart from the airport annually. Most airports in the U.S. do not have air traffic control towers. In those airspaces, pilots use a designated radio channel to announce intentions for landing and taking off, said Jeff Guzzetti, an airline safety consultant and a former Federal Aviation Administration and NTSB investigator. Just because an airport doesn't have a control tower doesn't mean it's unsafe, he said. All the pilots should be broadcasting on this common traffic advisory frequency, and there's also a responsibility to see and avoid. Each pilot is responsible to see and avoid so they don't collide with each other, Guzzetti said. This story has been corrected to reflect that 67 people total were killed in the Washington, D.C. collision, rather than 67 people aboard the American Airlines jet. The next article is titled, "Lawmaker Wants Howdy to be Arizona's Official Greeting," by Howard Fisher, Capital Media Services. Phoenix. A freshman Tucson lawmaker says he always greets people with a howdy, and now Democrat Kevin Volks wants a state law to help that catch on. He is proposing to the legislature designated howdy as the official state greeting. His HB 2764 would have that saying join an extensive list of items mentioned in state statute as official, a list that includes everything from the cactus wren as the state bird and the bola tie as the neckwear to the sonorosaurus as the state dinosaur and even lemonade as the state drink. But more than that in a bit. He's already got bipartisan support for what he says is a fun way to single Arizona out for visitors in the form of co-sponsors. Now the question is whether a majority of his colleagues, and Governor Katie Hobbs, if it gets to her desk, is willing to go along. Put simply, Volk said it would be good for both those living here and those we want to visit in Arizona. It's getting harder on us to hang on to our cultural heritage, he said, and he called the greeting part of history and culture as a state. Plus, the lifelong resident contends howdy is unique to Arizona. But the real goal, said Volk, is to draw attention to the state and its cowboy culture. Consider, he said, having it be a reminder of all the westerns that were made in Arizona. That includes not just those at Old Tucson over the years, but even farther back, things like John Ford filming John Wayne in Monument Valley. All that, he said, could become a draw for people to visit here. Volk said his inspiration came when Representative Justin Wilmoth waged a successful fight last year to have Pluto declared Arizona's official state planet. It's not that the Phoenix Republican thought Arizona would be claiming the farthest planet, or dwarf planet as has been declared, as its own. But what it did, said Volk, is call attention to the fact that Pluto was discovered at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff. And that, he said, has promoted tourism. Still, Volk acknowledged that leaves the question of whether howdy is uniquely Arizonan, or conversely, whether it truly reflects the state history and culture. What of the state's Latino roots? After all, Arizona originally was part of Mexico, and some of the communities in this state go back that far. Volk said he sees no reason why hola or some similar greeting might also not be appropriate. And what of the state's Native American history? The Navajo use ya'ata'e as a greeting, which also means it is good. Volk said that, too, would be part of a nice mix of official state greetings. But with multiple and possibly competing ideas, that leaves the question of exactly how controversial the largely ceremonial measure could prove. There is a history of what happens when people have their own ideas. Consider a 1998 proposal to have the Diplophosaurus declared the official state dinosaur, an idea pushed by a state senator who said it was a suggestion from a 9-year-old constituent. Simple enough, until it ran into opposition from some volunteers at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, who pointed to excavations being done near Sonoita into the Sonorosaurus. The fight was so divisive that both proposals failed, and it took another 2 decades before lawmakers revisited the issue and did finally choose the Sonorosaurus. Then there was the 2011 vote to declare the Colt single-action Army revolver to be the official state firearm. Albert Hale, then a state representative from Window Rock, objected to providing official state recognition to an instrument of destruction. More to the point, Hale, a Navajo, said his people were all too often on the wrong end of that weapon. "Does this mean we honor and celebrate the killing of my relatives?" he asked colleagues. Hale lost that battle, and the Colt is now on the list of official state items. And then there was the 2019 debate about Arizona needing an official state drink. The state has a history of growing oranges, but Florida already had laid claim to orange juice. That led to a floor debate about finding something more Arizona-specific. One senator suggested the margarita. "What is a great Mexican dinner in Arizona without a margarita?" asked Senator Victoria Steele. "Plus, there's the fact that the World Margarita Championship is held in Tucson." Others, however, were cool to having an alcoholic beverage commemorated in state statute. There was a proposal for sun tea, but another said Jamaica tea, pronounced Jamaica. A drink made from hibiscus flowers was more representative. "It's all over the Mexican restaurants," said Senator Juan Mendez. "Anywhere you can get a burrito, you can get a Jamaica drink." In the end, the other idea fell away, and lemonade got added to the list on the signature of then-Governor Doug Ducey. It appears that only one other state has an official state greeting, that being Aloha. Missouri lawmakers tried a decade ago to make the high five that state's official greeting, but with no luck. We are at the conclusion of today's Yuma Sun Daily program. This is your Sun Sounds of volunteer broadcaster, Neil Kelly. Thank you for tuning in today for the Yuma Sun Daily. If you missed any part of this program, you can go to our website, sunsounds.org, and listen to it on demand under broadcast info and audio. The Wall Street Journal is next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.